Is that you'd like to tell me about?
I share some degree of my stamina with my victims, as long as they indulge me. You will need very little rest tonight. In the morning, you won't be tired.
Just well fucked?
Yes, you are unique in this. Eventually, that effect diminishes, for most victims. I am made to run a lover ragged unto death. I have no intention of doing that to you.
That makes me feel special.
More than you know, she grinned. You know I can conceal myself. It can work for both of us, if necessary. This takes a little effort on my part. The more I recover, the easier it will be for me. Yet even at my best, it is still wiser and more practical to find clothing than conjure it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I could spare money for clothes, but I'm not exactly loaded.
I have resources of my own. I could elaborate, but a few surprises for later might be nice. He looked at her with a suspicious smile, and she simply added, You need not live in your mother's home much longer.
Good. I think we're gonna need a bigger bed.
Alex chuckled. There is that. As I said, I have resources. Still, I think you'll find it worthwhile to stay on at your job for a short time.
Guess I'll take your word for it. Tomorrow's not a work day, though. School day.
Ah, yes. You ask all this about me, but tell me so little about yourself.
Well, I'm kind of a geek. I work as a file clerk in a law firm, and I go to community college. I have plenty of friends, and some of them are dorks, but at our age, that's probably not a shock. My dating life sucks. Or at least it did before now.
Why?
I don't know.
Alex frowned.
I'm not a social reject or anything. A lot of girls I've liked already had boyfriends. Others just weren't interested. I've felt pretty unattractive lately.
Lorelai frowned. You won't have that problem any longer, Master. Yet, even if we were not so bound, I would not say that you had reason to feel that way. Alex just shrugged.
Anyway, what you see is pretty much what you get. What else do you want to know?
I would very much like to know why you would not lay with me before now, she said. Was it truly just your moral qualms about slavery? I thought my desires were clear enough.
They were.
And you don't have a lover to whom you owe monogamy.
Not for lack of trying, he admitted.
Then why?
I guess,
Alex mumbled.
This is kind of embarrassing.
He saw no judgment in her eyes, only curiosity.
I guess you could say I was saving myself for love. I thought that's what you were supposed to do. I mean, unless you're some brain-dead horn-dog guy with no respect for women. And I'd rather be more than that.
Lorelai inhaled deeply, a satisfied smile coming across her face. I see. You're also ready to risk your life for the sake of strangers. Are you so idealistic in all things?
Well, maybe not about every little thing, but this? Yeah.
I hope this night hasn't disappointed you, Alex.
No. Hell no. I'm going to want a lot of nights like this.
She leaned in closely to kiss him again. Her lips were soft and soothing, and her kiss went deep. I also hope that you feel friendship is good enough for a first time.
I'm not complaining,
he whispered back. She sat up against him. A great respect for women, And no father in the house? Has it always been just you and your mother?
For a long while, now, yeah. Dad cheated on Mom, a lot. When she found out about it, she found out that it had been going on a long time. Co-workers, bar floozies, hookers, married women. It hurt her a lot. They divorced when I was in grade school. Honestly, I don't hear much from him anymore beyond a generic card at Christmas.
Ah, this explains much. You do not wish to become your father.
No,
Alex admitted.
I'm terrified of it.
You will not. Put that fear aside, Alex. If you have made anything clear to me, it is that you have a good soul and a tremendous strength of will. I suspect there is much more of your mother in you than your father.
Maybe, but if I can trust you, Will you help me make sure I don't wind up like that?
As you wish, Master, she said. But again, you have little to worry about.
You've been talking about me being with other women. Lots of other women.
There's a difference between adultery and enjoying dalliances when you are not committed to one lover. Lorelai shrugged. Some relationships are knowingly open.
I guess. Like I said, though, I just don't want to hurt anyone.
As you wish, Lorelai nodded. Wicked affection spread through her smile again. Now, tell me about Molly and Onyx. Chapter 5. Very Naughty Things.
Sleep, Master,
Lorelai whispered into Alex's ear.
I will be here when you awaken. Sleep.
His eyes fluttered closed. His breath became steady and easy.
Dream of pleasant things.
After a long moment, she disengaged from him, stood, and stretched. The succubus looked at him silently, blankly, finally shaking herself. This was utter madness, completely out of control. It took an act of will to get up off of him and let him sleep. She hadn't lied. Not directly, and couldn't if she wanted to. But there was no reason to hide her desires. He felt better than any mortal ever had. Better than things not of this earth. He was vastly more pleasant than either previous master. Almost disturbingly so. Lorelai had spent an eternity dodging the attention of those who ruled her, doing her best to stay at arm's length and only grudgingly responding to a summons. She despised herself for that obedience. She hated the way she responded to her master's touch, yet couldn't resist. Now she wanted to goad this new, mortal, simple man into taking advantage of that. She, too, wanted to be friends. More than friends. Abashed. The devil stood, Lorelai mused aloud. For a second time, she shook herself. She still hungered for him, but her hunger typically lasted until she had vanquished a partner. That wouldn't be happening here. Perhaps she'd just have to get used to being satisfied only while making servicing him. Let's not get carried away with this. There is sorcery at work. I should have realized the ritual wasn't fully complete, she thought bitterly. I knew I could make more mischief, push these boundaries further, perhaps broken free, though to what end? She looked down at him again, feeling a need through her center and through every limb to wake him and continue their night together. She had long recognized the sensual triggers within her body that ensured her loyalty to her masters. Alex unwittingly pulled on all that, but he brought more. Her reactions held an undeniable emotional quality. He was so unlike anyone she'd ever lain with, mortal or otherwise. He lusted for her, of course, but she also felt warmth and compassion. Could she possibly, somehow, after all this time and all her deeds, deserve such things? Madness. She crushed out such thoughts, turning away from him. He had the will to resist. Any previous partner would have let her ride him until he passed out. Alex had actually asked her to let him sleep enough to be rested for the next day, and clearly didn't intend to stay home with her. That self-control was astounding. Alex enjoyed letting Lorelai take the lead. He liked being pursued instead of pursuing, especially after such a haphazard history of dating. His desires tended toward strong women, for obvious reasons. Not exclusively, but the preference stood out. He had it in him to be the aggressor and the seducer in different circumstances. Lorelai saw much she could play with. But what was so ominously clear to her was that he would only be led so much. He would be happily teased and manipulated until something genuinely bothered him, and then it would end. Her plots would only move as long as they respected his real boundaries. Alex, unlike any prey before him, could say no and mean it. Frowning, Lorelai glanced around his room. Seeing in the dark was no challenge at all for a demon. She should have investigated the house yesterday, but fatigue from her abduction had overcome her and she'd put it off. Lorelai looked over his bookshelf and other belongings, which indicated interests that tended toward larger-than-life adventure and matters far beyond his small world. He wouldn't want to remain in his hometown forever. On his desk sat a picture of his high school swim team, which included several girls forever burned into his desires. She could use that. His shelves held an eclectic collection of music, but his discs and scattered ticket stubs revealed a preference for live rock. Posters of bands and ordinary teen interests adorned the walls. But ordinary teens didn't have so many philosophy books. She found his class schedule. Only a year into his college life, he still had mostly intro classes. Intro to literature, intro to biology, philosophy, human sexuality. No wonder he's so screwed up, she thought. Intro to photography. Her heart jumped. So insignificant a thing. Just a class at a community college. How different her world would be if Alex hadn't, probably on a whim, taken introduction to photography. There was so much more to know, and so much more that he would want to know about her. He wouldn't like it. There was so very little for a good man to like. The thought gave her a small pang of despair. Lorelai considered slipping out, but saw no great need. What she wanted lay right in front of her. Merely being with him felt good, and the succubi were nothing if not hedonistic. She slipped into the bed, curling up beside him in the hopes of banishing ominous thoughts and unpleasant memories. Her hopes went unfulfilled. The pounding on the door and demands for Malik to rise had ended hours ago. Screams and crashes and the sounds of slaughter replaced it, but Lorelai had paid it no mind. Her work had been too close to completion to worry about such things. She felt, as always, the final, overwhelming shudder of pleasure when her prey expired. As usual, it arrived while she rode him, slapping away his feeble, fatigued attempts to push her off before the end. Lorelai remained still for a good while, oblivious to shouts and the clanging of swords, separated from her only by brick and mortar. She hated this man. Indeed, hated all her lovers. But at least they always gave her this. Whatever her feelings, this moment always rewarded her efforts. Once Malik's soul finally passed through her on its way to hell, Lorelai rose from the bed and took up a robe. Her proud wings stretched out, completely unhindered by the fabric. An onlooker might have thought either the wings or the robe were illusions, for how could one solid thing merely pass through another in such a way? Only practitioners of magic could see them, though, and Lorelai had not encountered any such morals in Antioch. She wanted to wash. That was always her first instinct when the deed was done and the pleasure faded. Lorelai left the room without a second glance, clad only in the robe. She ignored the jewelry, the dresses, all of it. She needed none of it and wanted it even less. A Turk died at her feet as she opened the door, thrown down by a pair of Franks who descended upon him with bloodied blades. She waited patiently until they moved out of her way. Neither man paid her any notice. Lorelai threw the robe's hood over her head. It was easier to go unnoticed when one was genuinely inconspicuous. She calmly slipped through corridors and streets filled with pillage, raping, and much worse. A small well sat not far away. It waited just around the corner, beyond the three bearded crusaders arguing over a dead man's belongings. Lorelai walked calmly around them, remaining unnoticed by mortal warriors. Yet not by one of her own. They smelled one another in nearly the same instant. Lorelai immediately resigned herself to the encounter, as the blonde woman at the well looked up. She was dressed as a Frankish noblewoman on a long journey, and clearly she had been. Any ordinary woman would have had no place in a city on its first night of pillage, but an ordinary woman wouldn't have a demon's wings and tail either. The blonde stood near a bucket sitting on the edge of the well. From it she drew a gold necklace and dagger. The blood hadn't entirely come off either trinket yet. Lydia, said Lorelai flatly, acknowledging the other succubus with a curt nod. The blonde's face split into a predatory grin that touched her eyes and even her horns. Lorelei, she sang out. What a pleasant surprise.
Isn't it?
You look radiant under that ragged blanket, Lydia said. Burlap suits you. The succubus leaned in just a touch and inhaled deeply. And you smell of a fresh triumph.
You smell of several.
Lorelei shrugged. The statement carried no admiration. Yes, well, I have found a good deal of low-hanging fruit with the Christians. The Pope has provided me with a veritable orchard. Her grin turned sly. A few more decades of this, and perhaps my name will be spoken in the same breath as yours.
Belial favors quality over quantity, Lorelei replied indifferently. I imagine it is a different game for the most favored of Baal.
It is, Lydia grinned. Baal doesn't have me out among the mortals endlessly trying to make up for lost ground.
She paused before saying,
He still misses you, you know.
Lorelei didn't bother to hide the sneer. You say that as if it should mean something to me.
Doesn't it?
Lydia asked.
Baal remains ascendant. Belial remains dimmed. Your name has not lost its luster, though. If I brought you back into the fold, we would both be rewarded. He would enjoy spending time with you again.
I wonder if you understand what the word reward means, Lorelei said. The cheerful smile faded.
Don't be cross. We have so much in common.
Yes, Lorelei nodded. We both wish to use the well.
Lydia glanced down at her bucket, then back at Lorelei. She stepped back and gestured for the other succubus to help herself.
Lorelei stepped forward. She paused to look into the bucket, finding the water reddened with blood. At the bottom lay a gold ring. It was simple, undecorated, and thin. It had the look of a common man's wedding band.
Why do you seek baubles and trophies?
Lorelei asked. Because it amuses me. I like my trophies. Don't you keep any? I would think one as celebrated as you might take more joy in her work.
It means little to me.
Lorelei looked her peer up and down. She gestured to the blood on Lydia's sleeve.
I will leave you to the well. You have more need to wash than I.
She turned to leave without another word. Lorelei felt the angry, hateful eyes of the other succubus looking on, but it meant little. Very little here meant much at all. Lorelei was definitely the best thing to wake up to. Ever. It was the first coherent thought Alex had that morning. The welcoming, affectionate mouth and smooth, stroking hand that roused him from slumber convinced him beyond any doubt. He lay on his back, overwhelmed once more by the affections Lorelei lavished on his erection.
I'm starting to believe you really do like doing this, he groaned.
Alex tilted his head just enough to look at his gorgeous wake-up call, who simply winked at him and continued. She lay along his legs, favoring him with plenty of bare skin upon skin. He had always doubted the notion that women could genuinely enjoy going down on men. The look in Lorelei's eyes and the way she seemed to savor every inch of his flesh made a believer out of him, at least as far as she was concerned.
My life is awesome.
Lorelei paused long enough to say,
wait for it,
then went back to her work.
Telling you, the women in my life are absolutely no fun anymore,
whined the morning DJ from Alex's clock radio.
All my ex wants is alimony, and all my wife wants out of me is to listen to her bitch and moan about her feelings and her social life, and...
Alex laughed a bit.
If this guy only knew, he thought. Jackass, he muttered.
The feeling of Lorelei chuckling softly added a nice dimension to the sensations her mouth provided. Alex groaned again. His left hand reached down to stroke her hair. His right fumbled for the power cord of the clock radio until he had it unplugged.
Bet he'd have a happier marriage if he wasn't such a whiner,
Alex mused.
Clearly,
Lorelei broke off to say.
Why do you listen to him then? He wasn't always there. I keep forgetting to change the station. God, I hate guys like him. And I don't want to think about anything else right now. But you and what you're doing.
She spoiled him for a while, working slowly enough that he didn't near orgasm right away. The longer she went on, the more it seemed she, too, derived physical pleasure from the act. In his blissful haze, Alex remembered something about magical bonds and shared pleasures. But by then, his body tensed with excitement and anticipation. Lorelai relentlessly brought him to a long, luxurious finish, and stayed on task throughout his satisfaction. She seemed to shake with pleasure just as much as he did. Eventually, the moment passed. Lorelai's mouth lingered for a while before she slipped away from his groin to crawl into a warm, mutually grateful embrace.
"Good morning,"
she murmured, kissing him lightly.
"Good morning to you. Did you get any sleep?"
"A little. I need far less than you. It's more of an indulgence than a need."
"I feel like I slept."
He was now wide awake as his eyes fluttered open.
"I feel like I slept all night, after having sex all night, like I had two nights there. Wow, when did I go to sleep?"
"I brought you to sleep a bit past 4, I believe."
"2 hours?"
"It was all you needed. As I explained last night, my prey undergoes certain changes. I would happily have kept you awake longer. I am trying to control myself, Master," Lorelai conceded dryly. Alex laughed, then glanced at the now blank clock radio.
"Well, now I don't know what time it is. Time to get up and get going, at any rate. You?"
"I would follow you and bathe you if you like, but it sounds as if you would prefer not to be too distracted this morning."
"No, but are you going to be okay with staying today? I'm not telling you not to go anywhere. I would just like it if you were here when I come home."
He opened his mouth to speak again, but Lorelai promptly closed it for him. "If you stammer out an apology for such a simple request, you'll be back to waking up to that insipid disc jockey every morning." Instinctively, Alex wanted to apologize for making so many apologies, but abandoned the notion with a laugh. Lorelai smiled back at him and let him go. "Go," she said with a shooing motion. "Shower. You smell like you've been having sex all night."
"That's crazy talk,"
Alex chuckled as he grabbed some clean clothes.
"Ask anyone. I don't know what to do with girls. I'm still a pure, innocent virgin."
"You'll make a good sacrifice for some terrible demon princess, then." At the door, Alex turned back to her.
"Are you really a prin-"
"No," she laughed. "Go get cleaned up." He was showered, shaved, and ready to go within 15 minutes. Alex felt more energized than he had in a long time. Lorelai wasn't in the bedroom when he came in to get dressed, but he paid that no mind. He simply threw on a shirt and some cargo pants, then headed downstairs to grab something to eat. Outside his bedroom, he was stopped in his tracks. Michelle's door was ajar, which in itself wouldn't have been interesting, but his mother stood directly in view. She had her back turned toward the door as she played with her hair, in a black and white skirt suit that did a lot to tastefully show off her figure. He wasn't mesmerized like he seemed to be by every other attractive woman. That was a relief, given the way she was dressed. He was surprised at how good she looked, though. She appeared fit and trim, arguably ready for modeling. He could already hear all his friends telling him with renewed joy how hot his mom was as he headed down the stairs. Rummaging through the refrigerator, Alex wondered what might explain her glow. Maybe she'd just been working out more than he thought? Maybe she'd met someone at the office and didn't want to say anything yet? Cereal implements in hand, Alex settled down at the dining room table. He considered, as he began to eat, that the table was just big enough to throw a woman on it and have his way with her. He chuckled, thinking it was silly to still obsess about sex after the night he'd just had. But then maybe that's how things would be from now on. That didn't seem so bad. As if on cue, Lorelai rounded the far corner of the kitchen to walk toward him. She wore one of his dress shirts, unbuttoned and not much of anything else. The whole girl in a man's shirt the morning after thing had always seemed like a contrivance for photo spreads and movies to him before. But now he was a believer. Lorelai sauntered in as he watched her, then planted an affectionate kiss on the back of his neck. Her hands slipped around his chest. "I like the way you look at me."
"I like looking at you."
"Alex, are you talking to someone down there?"
his mother called down.
Her footsteps down the stairs made plenty of noise. Alex looked up to Lorelai in concern. A naughty smile overcame her. Before Alex could say anything, Lorelai gracefully ducked down and backward to move under the cloth-covered table. Just as Lorelai disappeared, Michelle came into the kitchen. "Hey, sleepyhead," his mother smiled. He wasn't used to seeing her in anything that flattering. She looked professional, but still striking. She was, for all her business casual fashion, uncomfortably sexy.
"Mom?"
Alex stammered. This, he figured, had to be the most awkward moment of his life. Enticing hands slid up his legs. His eyes went wide with shock. Alex fought to keep his thighs together. His jeans tightened around his waist as his body reacted to Lorelai's touch. Now it was the most horribly awkward moment of his life.
Yes? Hmm?
Is that, a new outfit? He had to stop Lorelai. He couldn't possibly move away from the table now, though, and using his hands would draw attention.
Yeah, actually.
She winked at him. His mother never winked at him. It seemed innocent enough, not exactly flirty so much as maybe confident or conspiratorial. But winking just wasn't in her nonverbal vocabulary. Thwarted in the effort to spread his thighs, those hands slipped further up to run over the now painful bulge that strained against his pants.
"Do I look good?"
Michelle asked innocently, turning this way and that. She was completely oblivious to her son's distress.
"You do. I mean, yeah. Mom, you look, nice. Great. You look great. But your skirt's not..."
He swallowed.
"Not zipped."
"Oh, could you help me with that?" she asked absently, staying turned away from him. Oh, God. That ass. His mind screamed in panic. He reached over to take hold of her skirt and zip it for her with trembling, embarrassed hands. So wrong. The task finished, Michelle turned back to him and said, "Thank you," with a pleasant smile. Alex turned away, staring wide-eyed at his cereal bowl. Michelle hardly noticed. So very wrong.
"You were out late on Monday night. What were you up to?"
"Yeah, just, photography homework. I didn't want to leave it until the last minute." Lorelai's hands, mercifully, returned to merely caressing and groping his thighs.
"Is that why you were dead asleep when I came home?" Michelle asked. "I felt kind of bad. I made a bit of a racket when I got in. Hell, I even had the stereo on in the living room before I realized you were probably asleep."
"Didn't, hear a sound." Alex shrugged.
"Well, I guess it's good that you aren't procrastinating on schoolwork. You don't even have your next photography class again until Friday, don't you?"
Alex shook his head.
"Anything new at work?"
"Not really."
"Well, we've got clients coming in today. They'll probably want to go out to some bar or something afterwards. Salespeople," she said, rolling her eyes.
Trixie, he gulped. "Trixie people."
"Yeah.
Just terrible going out to a bar. Some nice, handsome guy might make a pass at you. Try to get your phone number. Ask you out. Dangerous stuff."
"Oh, sure." Michelle blushed. "Anyway, I might be home late."
"Well," Alex said, trying to blink away the sensations overwhelming him for just a moment of seriousness. "If you have a couple drinks and you're not sure about driving, don't feel bad about calling me for a ride home. I'll come get you. It's okay."
Michelle shrugged. "Sure, honey. I've got to go."
Mom? Your shirt's not buttoned all the way."
She looked down at herself. "Oh, you're right. Yikes," she mumbled.
In the process of fixing it, Michelle inadvertently flashed more black lace at Alex rather than less. His eyes snapped away to stare pointedly at his cereal bowl. With her shirt finally fixed, she didn't look so overtly sexy, just pretty and vibrant and well put together. But Alex knew more than that and was utterly mortified by it. Michelle paused to bend over and give Alex a kiss on the forehead. His eyes snapped shut and stayed that way.
Have a good day,
she waved on her way out. As soon as she was gone, Alex relaxed in a seat. Anything they had to say could wait till Lorelai had whatever she wanted. Chapter 6 Chicks Dig Me? Yeah, can you please put the cell phone away?
What, it's not bothering anybody?
It's bothering me, so please step outside. I shouldn't have to ask twice. This isn't high school. Professor Lyons was an older, soft-spoken man. His comb-over, high pants and button-to-the-collar short-sleeved shirt, gave him the look of a NASA engineer from the early 60s. The muscular youth grunted in disgust. He kept texting.
Man, people keep saying that shit here.
What? They keep having to remind you that you're not in high school anymore? There's a shock. Alex snorted. He sat in the next aisle of desks over, just one seat back. Glaring at Alex, the other student loomed out of his desk to show off his size.
Oh, you want some of this?
I want better dialogue out of you first. Please leave my class, Professor Lyons said with a firmer tone. After three classes of obnoxious behavior from the guy, he couldn't ignore the distractions anymore.
I'll have you dropped from the roster. There's no more reason for you to stay.
I need this class,
the student roared. Lyons instinctively stepped back.
You could always transfer across town,
Alex offered. The offending student turned on Alex.
Fucking little shit. You want a piece of me?
No, I want you to leave. We all paid to be in this class. As he spoke, he saw Professor Lyons pick up the classroom phone, doubtlessly to call security. Alex remained in his seat. Better keep T-Mobile boy distracted, he thought. Probably took everything Lyons had in him to go this far with it, poor guy. That said, Lyons had stepped up to the problem now, and Alex felt a need to help deal with it.
I don't see nobody else complaining.
T-Mobile boy waved his hand around. The class silently watched the train wreck unfold.
Well, clearly I'm the only one dumb enough to try to use words with you.
Alex shrugged.
You wanna go, asshole? I'll tear your fucking head off and shit down your neck.
No, Alex said, doing his best to stay steady and calm. He kept his hands flat on the desk to prevent them from shaking. His helmet sat in easy reach. It would make a decent weapon if this got crazy.
I want you to leave so we can finish class. This isn't high school.
Motherfucker!
T-Mobile boy roared, throwing up both his hands and then hurling his cell phone to the floor. It smashed into a dozen pieces. Alex looked down at it, then up at the other guy. He couldn't resist.
You broke your little phone, he deadpanned.
The face in front of him twisted in rage.
Punk-ass faggot, bitch! I'm gonna break you if I see you outside!
I'm not getting into fights outside at lunch. That's childish. This is a college. T-Mobile boy's muscles flexed and his arms waved around in building anger.
You better fucking walk the fuck away from me, he demanded. Or...
If you were going to attack me, you'd have done it already, and then you'd be arrested and probably go to jail and get bounced out of school altogether. Clearly, you aren't that stupid. Just leave. Nobody here cares. For a long moment, T-Mobile boy made a show of trying to restrain himself. Alex sat through it, mainly wanting to stall until campus security arrived, but he needn't have worried. The other student turned back to his desk, grabbed his knapsack, and... After shoving his textbook and notebook off his desk, began to walk out. Once the storm had passed, the professor took a long, deep breath to steady himself. He wasn't the only one. Finally, he turned back to face the class, specifically Alex.
Folks, things like that shouldn't happen here, but if they do, you need to let me handle it.
Alex held up his hands apologetically.
I'm sorry, Professor.
Lyons took another deep breath and shook his head.
That's all right, just don't do it again,
he said. With that, campus security arrived, providing another brief interruption. As they talked, Alex mused. I've seen that dipshit's girlfriend. Morons like him don't deserve hot ass like that. Wonder how hard it'd be to steal her away and... Holy shit, why am I thinking like this? School was easier than work had been the day before. That surprised Alex, given how many young, attractive women were here. No professional decorum or business casual dress code managed behavior here, either. It was an overcast morning, Seattle often was by late September, yet warm enough that summer fashions could still be seen and enjoyed. That said, Alex could at least think about things other than the women around him. He still enjoyed stares and unnecessary bumps from random girls. Two pretty classmates just had to thank him for dealing with the loudmouth. From there, he wandered over to the student center to kill the next hour between classes. Clearly, he still caught many eyes, but he wasn't as distracted as he'd been yesterday. He chalked up his comfort and ease to the night's release of tension, as well as the morning's unexpected indulgences. It had all done a lot to clear his head and relieve stress. Amid everything else in his mind was a profound feeling of gratitude for all that, but also a sense of trepidation about where it would all lead. I know you had something to do with that, he had said to Lorelai before he left. He was dressed, busy cleaning up from breakfast, and utterly mortified. With what? My mother? Alex frowned sourly. Oh, yes, well, perhaps a little. Well, don't you think she's happy to look so good? That's not the point. I asked you not to do anything to her, and why would you mess with me like that? Lorelai's mouth spread into a slow smirk. You didn't want me to harm her, or you. I have done neither. Alex's jaw clenched. He didn't want to be mad at her, but this... Alex, Lorelai ventured, I have not harmed your mother in any way, nor done anything to her to which she would strongly object. You wanted her to ignore my presence. In arranging this, she falls somewhat under the sway of my powers, and that has some side effects. But as I have said, she is unharmed. She is fitter now, more confident, and yes, as you noticed, sexier. She seems quite happy. Fuming a bit, Alex pressed. She wouldn't object strongly? Lorelai tilted her head thoughtfully. Like anyone, Michelle would doubtlessly not appreciate being deceived or manipulated. But I believe that if our situation came out into the open for her, she would eventually accept it. At worst, she might be a bit shocked or embarrassed, but she would adjust without trauma. I believe she would even be happy for you. They looked at one another for a long, tense moment. He didn't feel any more at ease. Lorelai's confident demeanor faded a bit, until she finally said in a soft, calm, yet almost pleading voice, I cannot lie to you, Alex. I cannot hurt you. I only meant for some harmless fun. That cracked Alex's anger. He sighed, trying to release the rest. Not again, okay? Her sly, seemingly affectionate smile returned, and she reached out to caress his cheek. You offered trust and allowed me to keep some secrets. You had to know I'd be at least a little naughty. Before he could open his mouth to speak, Lorelai asked, Master, will you be late to your first class? Her question had him headed out of the door, of course. Despite his overwhelming desire to drag her upstairs and fuck her senseless until she had confessed to whatever she had done, his mind screamed at him that he needed to hang on to some normalcy in his life. He couldn't spend all day, every day in bed with his willing partner, though, given her ability to keep him going, he couldn't articulate why not. No, there was Lorelai, and despite how real she might be, there was also reality. Alex needed reality. He needed to stay grounded. He needed to tell that thin, brown-eyed brunette with the ponytail behind the snack bar that she was smoking hot. and that he looked for her every time he came in, and that if she thought he was being creepy, he was sorry and could think of a half dozen great ways to make it up to her. Stop it. He paid for his sandwich and soda without saying much to her, though it was weird how she seemed happy to see him and never broke eye contact until he walked away. Alex wandered outside and found an open spot at a table alone. He doubted it would be hard to find a stranger who'd welcome him to her table, but the thought of taking advantage of that creeped him out. Someday he might get used to pretty women fawning over him. He might even get to like it. No, he had to admit, he would definitely like it, but Alex didn't want it to go to his head or take it for granted. The fact was, it was all just because he'd had a run-in with the supernatural. And, as Lorelai had warned him last night, he might well have more. That was an unsettling thought. He had no idea who those people who'd kidnapped her and Rachel were, and Lorelai didn't seem to know either. But what if it happened again? She was weaker now than before. Who else might know how to abduct angels and demons? Wouldn't she be more vulnerable than she had been when it first happened? What if being with her endangered his mother or his friends? He was still getting used to Lorelai, and that was a secret arrangement. It couldn't last like that. He couldn't do that to her. If they were going to be friends, at least, she had to be able to come out in the open, go out in public with him, meet his friends, meet Mom. None of them would want him to have to hide anything. Oh, he doubted that he'd be telling his friends about the whole demon sex slave thing, of course, but they should at least know he had a girlfriend? Friend with astounding benefits? Sex demon? I should just tell them the truth and then let them figure out I'm not fooling, he mused. But that wasn't practical at all. Sticking his head in the sand was similarly impractical. Life had changed, and there was no changing it back. He pulled out his cell phone to make a call. As he waited for a connection, he spotted a rack containing various flyers and campus announcements. Among the papers was a copy of the current course schedule. It was only a week into the school year, still early enough to petition for changes. He grabbed it and started methodically going over his options. The other end of the phone picked up. Your mom? No, your mom. What's up, Alex? How much does it cost to enroll at that kung fu school you've been going to, Drew? $125 a month, plus you gotta buy gear, but you can go almost every night of the week if you want. Why, you finally want to go?
Yeah.
That price would hurt. He could cover it for at least a couple months at the expense of the new computer he'd been saving for. But this was too important.
Good. What changed your mind?
I kinda got into a scuffle the other night while I was out alone, and I realized what an incompetent tart I am.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just got a little shoved around, but they won't be bothering me again. Close call, you know? Kind of thing that makes you think.
Well, you know, nobody turns into an instant badass overnight, right? Takes years to get good at it, if ever.
I hear ya. Gotta start sometime, though. What's the address and when's a good time to go by?
He jotted down the details, said thanks, and hung up. Then he turned back to the course schedule. Life had gone crazy and might as well stay that way. Lorelai may be bound to protect him, but he had no interest in hiding behind her. Moreover, he had no interest in her coming home one day to find him carved up and stuffed in the refrigerator because he filled the role of helpless love interest.
You want to add another class to your load, the heavy-set counselor observed without much interest.
Her jaw was propped up on her hand with her elbow on the desk, looking down at the form in front of her.
Yes, ma'am.
You want to take first aid CPR.
Alex nodded patiently at her thrilling demonstration of reading comprehension skills. Then he realized she couldn't see him any more than he could see her eyes. He saw only her mop of ragged, curly black hair.
Yes, ma'am.
And you've already got a full class load. More than a full class load, she noted.
He wasn't even entirely sure she was awake.
Her eyes didn't seem open, and besides the way her head bounced up and down slightly as she spoke, what with her jaw being held up by her hand and all, she hardly moved. I filled out the petition form here. I swung extra units last year, too, and I kept my GPA up with that, Dean's List, and it doesn't conflict with my current schedule, Alex explained in a helpful, polite tone.
Are you switching to a major that requires this class?
Not really, no. Thus far, Alex had taken only widely required courses because his major was still undeclared. As a kid, Alex dreamt of becoming a cop. But long discussions with several veteran cops on the topic of constantly dealing with human misery had turned him from that. He toyed with the idea of law school once, but Keating and Rose made him think twice about the lawyer's life. Most recently, the idea of being a high school teacher had some appeal, but after the last 2 days, his disinterest in younger girls now carried added fears. He wanted to avoid underage girls at all costs.
This represents a serious increase in your class load.
I can handle it, Alex nodded. First aid isn't even a full semester course. Without moving anything but her right hand and arm, the counselor reached for a stamp, pushed its ugly red denied imprint onto his form, then held it out to him. She didn't look up. Stunned at her complete disregard, Alex took the form back. He didn't even know why he needed it now, and wandered out of her cubicle. Back in the counseling lobby, Alex wondered what to do. That whole meeting had seemed incredibly rude. He wasn't even sure why she saw him. Would another counselor actually, perhaps, counsel him? Alex decided it was worth a shot. He got back into the queue of students waiting at the front counter of the counseling office. Predictably enough, the line wasn't moving very fast. Alex kept his eye on the staffers behind the counter. Eventually, he spotted a young Asian woman working on a computer at a closed window behind the counter. She was cute, too. He decided to go for broke. Alex left the line and approached her.
Hey, sorry to bother you,
he began, smiling and trying not to stare down the small opening in her mostly modest shirt.
But can I ask you a quick question?
Sorry, she said, without looking up from her paperwork right away. This window's,
She looked up at him, smiling back shyly.
Hi,
she said.
Hi,
he said. Holy shit. Is this happening again? He wondered.
Maybe it'll help.
Wow, you've got pretty eyes.
Oh, do I?
The woman blushed and looked away. Then she shrugged and admitted,
contacts.
That color works for you.
Alex pressed on anyway, holding her gaze.
You've got good taste.
Thank you.
So, sorry to be all creepy like that. I totally apologize. Way inappropriate.
Oh, no, it's not creepy,
she said, still blushing and now tugging on a lock of hair.
What can I do for you?
Well, I just saw a counselor for a course change, but she didn't even listen to me before stamping my form here.
Alex held it up to show her.
Is there someone else I can see?
Really?
The girl frowned. She took the form from him and looked it over.
Where's the harm in letting you take first aid? She didn't even talk to you?
Not so much. Didn't even look at me.
Huh,
the girl said. She glanced up at Alex, blushing again before she turned to her computer with the form in hand. Alex watched as she quickly called up his student record and began making adjustments.
Let me see if I can help you with that, she mumbled as she worked.
Alex's jaw dropped.
Was she seriously going to...
There you are, she said quietly. Your course changes are approved, but... Oh, darn,
she added as she promptly put his denied request form straight into the shredder.
I guess I must have misplaced your form somewhere. Oops, I'm such a dingbat,
she smiled.
Wow, he breathed.
Did you want a printout of your new schedule?
Sure.
Not a problem, she muttered again. Let me just make a note here. Done. Okay, here you go. Please let me know if you need anything at all. I'd be glad to help you.
His class schedule now bore the handwritten note, Teresa, call me, 206-555-4689. He stared at the note wistfully as he exited the counseling office. She couldn't seriously want him that badly, that quickly. Then again, it might be that easy to get away with such shenanigans while working in the counseling office. But to just throw it out there like that? Was she looking for a fling? Something serious?
Hello, Alex,
called out a sweet, almost musical voice. He looked up completely bewildered and saw an angelic young blonde standing in front of him. She wore a white dress, equal parts innocence and whimsy. Sunlight broke through the overcast skies to shine down on the exact spot where she stood, illuminating her beauty and her smile.
Rachel?
Alex blinked. Her face was a heart-achingly lovely picture of warmth, kindness, and all that was good. Right up until it twisted into a disgusted scowl.
Oh, good Lord, she burst out loudly. You stink of that cheap, nasty slut.
Passersby turned their heads. Alex just stood there, mouth agape.
What kind of moron cheats on a babe like that?
Someone muttered.
Hello, Rachel?
Alex managed, once he got hold of his wits again.
How are you?
I was fine until I started inhaling the stench of whore vagina.
Alex became aware of the dozens of eyes on them and the mumblings of
jackass,
loser, and I never understand why hotties hook up with such douchebags.
He offered her his hand.
I've been hoping to see you again. Can we go somewhere and talk?
Rachel looked at his hand like he'd just pulled it out of a toilet.
Go,
she waved. I'll walk with you, just go. They soon found an open bench. Alex shook his head, amazed at the way he reacted to her. He felt an instant emotional connection, one that was just as quickly thrown into chaos as it was formed. She looked to be his age, but he knew she had to be vastly older. Just looking at her made him long for her approval, her companionship, intimacy, while she made an obvious point of sitting upwind of him.
I was so proud of you yesterday, she said with clear disappointment. Even after all that had just happened, you got up and went to work, and I thought everything was well, but ugh, look at you. I'll bet every moment you've been home alone with her, you've been putting your...
She waved her hand as if fighting for the right word.
Penis into her, haven't you?
He bit his tongue.
I'm glad to see that you're okay,
Alex said, hoping to shift the subject.
I wanted to talk to you more before you left.
Sure you did,
Rachel frowned.
Hey, I held out until last night,
Alex finally shot back. She's been wrapping people around her finger for like 2,000 years. I'm a single 19-year-old guy. What did you think was going to happen when you sent me home with her? The angel inhaled sharply and looked away as if he'd slapped her.
I'm sorry, Alex found himself pleading. I'm so sorry. I don't want to yell at you. It's just...
Yes, I slept with her, all right?
He bowed his head. I slept with her. And before I did, I was totally freaked out over what might happen. But now I don't know why I should even feel bad about it, except that it makes you unhappy. I feel awful about that all of a sudden, and it's not even like I really know you or owe you anything, he mumbled.
Silence fell between them. The pair looked down at the ground awkwardly.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised,
Rachel conceded.
I expected you'd sleep with her at first.
I just thought after yesterday that you must have told the bitch to keep her tramp snatch shut. I suppose it doesn't do any real harm.
Even if you're probably bound to do it again, she ventured sullenly. Alex's eyes widened a bit as he shrugged in admission. Rachel just turned her head, nodded, and fell silent again.
Why does it bother you?
He asked gently. The angel blew at a lock of hair that dangled over her face.
Because I know what she is and what she's capable of, and you're just a mortal. I just thought it was cool to see someone like you shut her down.
I didn't sleep with her the first night. Rachel shrugged.
That's still pretty impressive, I guess, she mumbled.
She said it's not like heaven looks down on sex, if that's all it is,
Alex muttered.
And you both told me the bond means she can't lie to me.
It's not an issue for heaven, not if you aren't hurting people or, well, betraying someone.
You feel betrayed?
Alex asked, her breath caught, piquing his curiosity, but he held it in check. Lying probably wasn't in an angel's skill set. Maybe being so direct was a little harsh on her.
Does that question make you uncomfortable?
Yes, she nodded. This whole topic makes me uncomfortable.
You don't have to answer that. I'm sorry, I asked. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. Whatever's going on between Lorelai and I is just weird. I think it'll always be weird. But I've told her that I don't want to hurt anybody. We're just trying to get along when everything between us is bound to be weird.
You haven't hurt anybody, Rachel almost whispered. I guess what goes on between you and her is just between you and her.
I'm happy to see you, Rachel. Alex tried again. She nodded.
It's good to see you,
came her hesitant response. Did you say you saw me go to work yesterday?
Yes.
And you found me here? But you didn't know about Lorelai and I until just now. Have you been watching me somehow?
Rachel nodded, her brow furrowed. I can see you much of the time, even when I'm far away, but not when you're with her.
There was less venom in her voice, but the topic was still tender.
I suspect it's because I'm still weakened by the ritual, and she's got such an overpowering aura of skank that I can't see through it.
He blinked. Everything about her was angelic, literally, except for everything that came out of her mouth. Is there anything you can do to recover?
My strength returns slowly. The hosts think that there's a channel between us because of the ritual bond. If you do good, I'll get better.
Rachel looked him in the eye.
That little incident in your philosophy class this morning kind of helped. It was nice of you to stand up to that dipshit to help your professor.
He blushed. Just seemed like the right thing to do. Seemed stupid before too long.
You might have handled it better, but you stepped up. You can't go looking for things like that on my account, though. It won't make any difference if you're only trying to help me. Donating a ton of money to charity or picking fights against jerks won't do me any good, so don't try. Put the whole issue out of your head. You're a good guy, as it is, so it'll take time. But I'm sure, eventually, I'll get better.
Just live your life, okay? By hosts, do you mean the other angels? I thought they'd help you break free of the ritual.
Freeing me might also free her, which complicates things, Rachel shrugged. Keeping her off the chessboard like this is a big deal. You're doing the world a big favor, actually, but I'm not sure if the hosts even know how to fix this anyway. When I spoke with my peers, there was a distance. No harmony, no concord.
You said you were diminished. Wouldn't that be part of the spell?
She shook her head. No. They seemed standoffish somehow. I'm used to being the unpopular kid nobody wants to sit with at lunch, but it's worse now. I suspect they don't know what to do, and they're afraid to admit it. Her voice hinted a bitterness and pain. Alex reached out to hold her hand, and this time she allowed it.
I'm sorry, he said. I think you're wonderful.
Then, hoping a change of subjects might lighten the mood, he asked,
So you've been watching me?
Yes, I've been appointed your new guardian angel, for whatever I'm worth as such.
Wow, that's nice. Most people don't get to meet theirs.
As he watched her face, he grew a touch suspicious.
Does everyone have one?
More or less, yes. It's not a one-to-one ratio, though. There are way more people who need guardians than there are guardians to go around, so protection isn't constant. Protection can be lost, too, mostly for going through life as a giant cockbag, but there are other reasons.
But you're my new one? Who was my guardian angel before?
His name is Donald. He's kind of a pussy. He quit.
He quit?
Abandoned his post. Chickened out, buggered off.
When did that happen?
Rachel looked up into Alex's eyes, struggling to keep her voice even despite her open bitterness.